Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show! Fox Sports Radio. Hope you are having a spectacular day. Get you ready for a spectacular Halloween weekend. Welcome in. These next 2 days are the 2 days in which you can get dressed up on TV and people think it's fun or funny. I will only say this about some of my media brethren who get dressed up for these couple of days on television. That's not fair. That's cheating. Right? Like, to me, the idea of Halloween, and you guys can discuss amongst yourselves if you have a different idea of Halloween, but my idea of Halloween is very, very simple. One, I prefer funny over scary. But two, like, the true art to it is this. I've always liked Halloween costumes where you find stuff in your house and that's what you make it out of. Now, I'm not trying to get at your business if you own a Halloween store that's open for 1 month out of the year. Okay? Or if you run an online Halloween clothing business. I can tell you this, though. People who have professional makeup artists, that's not fair. That ain't right. That ain't right. But anyway, enjoy your Halloween. We'll do a Halloween candy list at some point. How is that not part of Rank'em? Don't we have Rank'em going? Interesting. Why don't we have Rank'em going? All right, let's get to this. To me, this weekend in the NFL, two games especially, and maybe even three, are about they're show me Sundays. Right? You know how Missouri is the show me state? What a great name. Show me state is an incredible name. California is the golden state. No, not because of the gold coast of Orange County. No, it's because they discovered gold here. Nevada is the silver state. Of course, they had the silver run in Nevada. But Missouri is the show me state. This is show me Sunday. Because I can think of two games and two teams in those two games that I know they're good. I'm not denying that they're pretty good, but I think these are the types of teams that they have to prove it to us that they can beat or they can look good against in order to show us on some level they're better than the tier we think they're in. Let's take the Ravens. They're taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers, and since they started Lamar Jackson at quarterback, since that happened, right? Since that took place, you know, ironically or interestingly enough, they are 9-1 in division play, which kind of goes counter to kind of my thoughts and logic on the zone read scheme that Greg Roman is using, which is the more you see it, and divisional teams see it more often, the more you see it, the better you'll be against it. But we also have to factor in that over the past 2 years, the Cincinnati Bengals have had the worst defense in football. Over the past 2 years, the Cleveland Browns have been a dysfunctional mess. And last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers were a shell of their usual selves, not just because of the Ryan Shazier injury going back 2 years ago and the Antonio Brown departure of a year and a half ago, but because they lost Ben Roethlisberger. That said, 9-1 against conference foes is nothing short of amazing. On the other hand, this is a legit Pittsburgh championship caliber defense and team. They've seen the style, so they know how to react and defend that style. And they're a team where there's a pretty good chance that the Pittsburgh Steelers can get a lead, and that has been the flaw in the chink in the armor, if you will, to Lamar Jackson's super strong chain. Like, no one's saying that Lamar and the Ravens can't beat up on teams, but can they compete against the elite teams on their schedule? So far, 0-1 against the elite team of the AFC, that being the Kansas City Chiefs. This is a show me Sunday. I'll tell you another team. The New Orleans Saints go on the road to Chicago. It's going to be 36 degrees at kickoff and getting cooler, and it's supposed to be up to 20-mile-an-hour winds. Outdoors in the cold. That is everything that runs counter to an older quarterback who lacks arm strength. Combine that with the fact that you're going against a nasty Bears defense. Think what you want about the Bears offense, which is a bit of a dysfunctional mess. This is a Bears defense which dismantled the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on their home field going back 3 weeks ago. What do you think they're going to do to Drew Brees? You got the weird situation with Michael Thomas, who, of course, got the biggest contract in the history of the sport for the position, but has rarely been on the field because of injuries and some behavioral issues. But the bigger thing is, can Drew Brees win a game outdoors? He's a below 500 quarterback outdoors during his career. He's substantially above 500 playing indoors. And this year, this stands the reason that whether it's Green Bay or Seattle or Chicago, maybe Philadelphia. Remember, home team gets the, right? Win your division, get a home game. One of those places is where the Saints are going to have to go. And I know that a couple years ago, they should have beaten the Minnesota Vikings, but again, that was in a dome. It was in a dome. Outdoors, cold weather, good defense. It's much like Lamar Jackson, a defense that knows their scheme, knows their system, has time to prepare, has the personnel to stop the run, and a quarterback who can make plays against the pressure and blitzing scheme of the Baltimore Ravens and has seen it before. All of those things. Both of these games, show me. I want to believe that the Saints are still contenders, but even against a team that is limited on offense, whose defense is equal in scoring with the offense, I don't believe it until I see it. And the same thing goes for the Baltimore Ravens. The same exact thing. So show me Sunday. Show me Sunday. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Since 2018, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati have a winning percentage below 400. Lamar Jackson's 9-1 against the North, and the Bengals are the worst team in the league. The Browns are a dysfunctional mess. And, of course, the Steelers had all that stuff where Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and Ben Roethlisberger all not playing for them last year. I want to see what Lamar does against a real Steelers team that Sunday. And the Bears, sixth against the pass, nasty defense, cold weather, outdoors. Ramos, are you letting the kids go trick-or-treating? Well, has it been discussed? Okay. Well, Byer, if you had children, would you let them trick-or-treat?
No, not in general. It may be, like, you know, go over to, like, grandparents' house or something like that, but probably not.
Yeah, I think what our plan is we're big K1 Speed people. Has there been a K1 Speed go-karts?
Yep.
Pretty awesome. So, go-karts, and then I think each, and they may have a friend, and we'll let everybody get two bags of candy, two different, you get a type of candy, but you get a bag. Okay, so that you can share, everybody gets one of them, right? But you get to pick your own bag, and then we have like a candy challenge where you try, like go through and try every candy, and then we rank all the candies. What do you think?
Yeah.
Right? How could that? Well, Matt, this will be the second. It snowed again in Connecticut last night, but we had a bad snowstorm the year before we moved out. So this is probably 2011. There's a bad snowstorm, and it knocked power out for a week, so there was no trick-or-treating or whatever that year. But I think that's the best I can come up with so far. But I'm interested. You know, some people have developed kind of these long, like almost PVC pipes where you ring in the doorbell and you're way out in their front yard and you put the that's too much work for me. Too much work for me.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Happy Halloween to you. Love Halloween. Can I point out one thing I don't like about Halloween? I hate scary movies. I don't like scary movies. Like Scream was over the top and scared the pee out of me. And I know scary movie guys like, dude, Scream, come on, bro. Like, bro. Sound like Joe Beningo, of course, retiring at WFAN. He's a big bro guy, bro. But I just think of horror movie guys, bro, that's not even like a scary movie. It's like nothing. Like The Purge. Like, that's a movie I can get down with. Like, that scares the crap out of me. That one scares the crap out of me. Is there one called Safe Room or something like that?
There is a Safe Room movie, yes.
Yes.
That's the one with Jodie Foster.
Yes. You know, the Halloweens, they used to have Halloween on, when I was a kid, I had HBO. I didn't have my parents on HBO. And they used to play Halloween every year on HBO. And I think it was Halloween 3 had like the snakes or something coming out of the eyes of the pumpkin or something like that.
And the worst of the Halloween movies, by the way.
It was the worst?
Yeah, Season of the Witch, Halloween 3.
I was scared. I slept in my parents' bed for like a month after that. I don't like scary movies. Can I share with you my logic as to why? Okay. There's all different sensual experiences you get to feel as a human being. You get to laugh. You should laugh. You should love. You should hate. Anger, right? And there's fear. Comfort, I think. Hunger. And then when you feed that hunger, like these are all like feelings and emotions and not just the senses that you have. I think there's enough fear in this world where I don't need to add to that and play to that portion of my brain. Whereas I don't think there's enough laughter in this world. There's enough love and joy in this world. And so I prefer movies that take me to those places as opposed to one that I got enough fear in my life. Like I have three children. I have a job and a contract, and we're in curious to, like, I got enough fear as to what my life could possibly look like if something went wrong, right? And most of my fear is reasonable, and I get that horror movies, it's not like you walk in and you think you're going to watch a comedy, and all of a sudden dudes are getting their heads cut off. But I think we got enough scary stuff in this world. I don't think we have enough laughter. That's my working philosophy. All right. Last week, Baker Mayfield led the Browns on a comeback against the Bengals. He threw 5 touchdown passes. In the first quarter, he couldn't have been worse. 0 for 5, threw a pick. There's been a lot of discussion about the Browns and if they're better off without OBJ. This is a 3-week stretch that Baker has in front of him. Right? They're 5-2 on the season. The overall defensive ranking of the Bengals is 26th, and that may be a bit too high. I know statistically they're 26th, but look at the last 2 weeks, and they got completely lit up, right? Completely lit up by the Cleveland Browns. The week before that, they had a 3-touchdown lead against the Indianapolis Colts, and Phillip Rivers, who looked like he couldn't throw a football the week before, just dismantled it. So I think Cincinnati's defense stinks. It stunk for 2 years. Why would it be so much better now? And they just got rid of Carlos Dunlap, and who knows who else is going to be traded. This Sunday, they take on the Las Vegas Raiders. The Raiders have not fixed their defense through all of these moves. They're 31st in overall defense, and that's who the Bengals play. Then the Bengals play the Texans. Excuse me, the Bengals, the Browns. The Browns play the Bengals, the Browns play the Raiders, the Browns play the Texans. They already beat the Bengals. This is a big 3-week stretch for Baker Mayfield. Can he play? Yeah. Can he play at a playoff level? I don't know. Can they make the playoffs? Sure. But you got to beat the teams that you're substantially better than, and he's got to light up the defenses that are the worst that he plays against. He doesn't have to be great against the Ravens in order for them to get to the playoffs. But he needs to be really, really good against the bottom feeders, the bottom defense in the NFL. This is a great opportunity for Baker to show you. Hugh Jackson just joins. He's like, man, I think he's better out of the shotgun. Just get it, get rid of it quick. You know, pick and stick. That's exactly what they're able to do. Now, you can do those against the bad defenses. You can't do it against the really, really good ones. And he'll play really good ones at the end of the year. They're not playing them right now. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm maybe even putting a little pressure on myself because I feel like this is a time in which I can take complete control of the huddle. Even if everybody, like I talked to an NFL executive, he's like, this is the Bengals. You're able to do things against the Bengals. You can't do against the best teams. Same thing with the Raiders. Same thing with the Texans. It is show me time for Baker Mayfield, and he can solidify himself. Because I don't think he has a GM and a head coach that did not draft him. There is no tie to him at all in that organization. Big couple week stretch for Baker Mayfield.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Let's welcome in John Middlecoff, NFL former NFL scout. Of course, 3 and Out is, in fact, the podcast. Stephon Gilmore is tweaked his knee. He's tweaked his knee. Now you got Edelman's out. N'Keal Harry's out. I would guess Stephon Gilmore doesn't play. By the way, in the easiest picks of the year, give me the Buffalo Bills and the points, but who remains in New England after Tuesday's trade deadline?
I think Edelman is legitimately hurt. I don't know if he's really tradable. To me, Gilmore, there's going to be a lot of work. I'm sure there's being work done on him right now. Like, he would be a guy people are going to trade for. He's one of the best corners in the league the last 4 or 5 years. I mean, he's an elite player. The question with him is he's 30 years old. I saw Peter Schrager did a thing the last, I think, 6 or 7 players that have been traded for, like, that first-round pick. You know, the Ramseys, the Diggs, the Jamal Adams have all been 27 or under. So, you know, it gets a little complicated there. But to me, the move is to trade him. You know, I guess Thuney, but he's banged up, the guard. The Patriots, I watched them play last week against the Niners. They're not exactly loaded with players. I mean, they only have a small handful of guys to me that have any value. So are they just keeping Gilmore out this week to trade him next week? Is this something he's doing? He doesn't want to get traded. I don't know. It's hard to – the one thing New England does a good job of is not much comes out of there. I don't think anyone really knows.
Cam Newton, is he a shot fighter? I mean, like, is he done?
I thought last week was one of the worst football games you'll ever see. Like, a highly famous guy play. You know, I mean, we've seen that game out of just scrubs, and there's a chance maybe he's just a scrub now because that game against Seattle sure looks like an outlier. I mean, he couldn't complete basic passes. I'm talking like 5 yard outs. He was skipping the ball. I mean, it was
John. Listen,
it was atrocious.
I tell people for the last year, you know, like I have 2 or 3 people. One's a director of player personnel, one's a GM, another's a player personnel guy at another team, and all three of them said the exact same thing. Like, did you see him throw before he shut it down last year? Like, he can't throw anymore. And then early this year, like, yeah, still, it's like the once you get to the volume of throws, you get to the middle of the end of the season, starts getting exposed. Like, you can, early on, like, first 4 weeks doesn't really mean anything. It looks like his arm is shot because he's never had great fundamentals, and when you're trying to rebuild your shoulder, you got to have really good fundamentals, and now it's like the opposite of that. Bad fundamentals and bad arm.
Yeah, you and I have talked about this before. People are less worried about the foot. They were worried about the shoulder, and that's just talking to people in the league that don't even need a quarterback, but just, you know, they're locked into the rumor mill and what the vibe is on every player. I got that from multiple, like, high-ranking executives. They're like, yeah, we don't trust the shoulder. And, I mean, neither did Belichick. He didn't give him any money, you know. But I also think it shows you that the Patriots were going to be in a world of hurt no matter what,
yes.
Right? Because their Stidham stinks, Hoyer's worse, and if Cam shot, I mean, you can't – when you don't have any talent and then your quarterback sucks, I think Belichick's in my opinion, he might be one of the greatest coaches any sport ever.
Yes.
But it doesn't matter, right?
You get They got eight guys opt out too, right? You had Patrick Chung and Dante
Hyde. They lead the league?
Yes.
Their entire defense.
Yeah, it's literally the only thing they're leading the league in is guys who opted out.
And like, you know, the one criticism of Bill is he has missed the last two or three years on several picks. Now, my pushback always is they went to eight straight AFC championships, and even last year they lost in the first round of the playoffs. They're not just picking at the end of the first round. They're picking at the end of every round. You know, they haven't been in the teens as a drafting team or definitely traded up in the draft in forever. Now, if you want to say he should have been more aggressive, that's fine, but it didn't. They didn't need to because they kept on winning.
Okay. Has Baker turned a corner, or is it, hey, they're going against the Bengals? You can snap it, pick a spot, stick it, and throw the football. Are you buying Baker's transformation after OBJ gets hurt?
Yeah, I'm not buying it after one game. Now, if he does this for four or five games, yeah. I mean, maybe there is something with Odell and. He kind of has this, I don't know, like Terrell Owens mid-2000s vibe that's probably accomplished a little bit less, but he's more famous than he is talented. I think in the last like 3 or 4 years, he has like 16 touchdowns. I think his first 3 years, it was in the mid-30s. So, I mean, it's a precipitous fall of production, but his fame has grown. I this week, the Raiders, I mean, not quite as bad as Cincinnati defensively, but they're pretty bad. So
they're actually their actual overall defensive rating is worse, 31st worst.
Yeah. You got the stats. I mean, they don't pass the eye test.
No, look,
be another good game for Baker.
Yeah, look, I think this one, and then they play somebody crummy the following week as well, like Houston. So I mean, he's got a chance to look better than he actually is these next couple weeks.
I do think on that Browns Raider game. John Gruden got a lot of money to come out of retirement. It's one thing to lose to Tom Brady, right, or just some of these games over the years, been rebuilding the team. Like, year three, midseason, like, you got to beat Kevin Stefanski. You know, this is a game that John Gruden, eventually we got to start judging some wins and losses. You know, you beat the Chiefs, you can't just then drop three straight games. I mean, yeah. You got to – This is a big week for Gruden, you know, against Stefanski.
You ever seen anything like DK? Why did people miss on DK Metcalf? They think he was David Boston?
I remember texting people after he ran like that 4.25, and was like, "Bro, who is it? Is this guy going in the top 10?" He had a bunch of injuries in college, and I just think the production, like, it was just so hit or miss at Ole Miss. Because think about it, his teammate every time I look up is making plays too, AJ Brown. I mean, how did both those guys
expensive team
be locked? What, like top 15 picks?
I mean, look, there's a reason they got on probation. They were buying good players. The guy who couldn't play was Ngakoue, right? Not Ngakoue. What was the Kimdiche?
Yeah, the guy that got in a bunch of trouble with Arizona.
Yeah, Kimdiche. Yeah. Yeah, he couldn't play.
Didn't like football. Or like Pro Bowlers.
Yes.
I think one thing you see with DK, and I think this rings true, just definitely in basketball and football, the fit and the teammates you're around impact your life dramatically.
Sure.
You know, I mean, he is an elite deep ball receiver, and he's with the greatest deep ball quarterback ever, and a place that has really promoted him, supported him, and he clearly works really hard. Russ loves him. I mean, it's just every time the guy prays, you should thank God that he ended up there.
You know, it's funny you point that out. You're a big Warriors guy, and I was talking to a member of the Warriors front office like a week ago, and he said, he's like, you know, who do you like for our pick? And we started talking about guys. I said, look, whoever you pick, I mean, as long as they're okay not playing much early on, it's one, he has to fit your culture. But if he fits your culture, like, that's the greatest thing ever. You don't have to carry a team. You can learn to play real basketball. You have guys with unbelievable work ethic who are going to compete for a championship, going to get to play deep in the playoffs. He's like, well, thank you. I agree with you. I was like, yeah. So you can't take a player who is sole concern is, how many points am I going to score my first couple years in the league? Because they're not going to score many, because that's what you got Steph and Clay specifically for, and maybe some others for as well. So fit is everything.
To me, when you have that culture,
yeah,
it's why you can take bigger swings. Like, yes. So if they think Wiseman has the highest upside, you go, you got the culture to raise those guys. When they took DK Metcalf, I think most of us were like, you know, this guy's huge. You go to YouTube, he's got some sweet highlights, but what's the deal? Because every team passed on the guy twice, right? Like, this seems a little too good to be true, and you can't watch him to go, it's just, the guy's a star, you know? The irony, Doug, the guy that leads the league in touchdowns is on his team is Tyler Lockett. You know,
another guy people missed
on, though.
That
guy's pretty good, too.
Right, and he was too little out of K-State. Right? Was he K-State? Yeah, it was K-State, right?
Yeah, he's K-State.
Yeah, and they ran the ball a ton when he was there as well. So the numbers maybe, but he was great in return game. He was awesome there.
He's a stud.
Okay, so help me out here. Is Lamar getting exposed? Are they working through something with him? Like, what's happened to the Ravens passing game?
Well, I just think they were used to last year just being up and boat racing people. And the more the run scheme, it's like pass game. If you have a dominant wide receiver or passing game, it's really hard to stop because at the end of the day, the quarterback and the coordinator dictate. To me, the run scheme, especially when you do what they do, which is it's a variation of what the Niners did years ago. They've obviously added elements to it. It eventually slows down. You can't slam it down everyone's throat just based on scheme. Now, you can kick people's butt when you got Barry Sanders or Walter Payton or an all-time great guy. But if it's just based on scheme, you have to be multiple in what you do. But the key to it is having a pass threat. And right now, clearly, they don't think they're taking away the middle shots and making them beat him outside the numbers. And that's not really his thing. That doesn't mean he's not a good player or whatever, but like, there's a reason you can't slow down Patrick Mahomes or Rodgers or Russell Wilson because they can hit every throw. Like the defenses, and this week, I'm fascinated for this game.
Me too.
That defense, you saw that team. I know the score was closer, but that first half, when Pittsburgh comes to play, I mean, you could argue like I'd be fascinated to watch the Chiefs against them. I mean, they bring it. So you're not going to run it on them, right?
I don't know though if the Chiefs match up, but I think it's one of those where I think the Steelers are better against more teams. But I think the Chiefs game plan would be, remember when the Patriots used to play Pittsburgh? And they would go in there and they would just go five wide, they'd empty, and they just mismatch, just dink and dunky to death. They get one of those linebackers out into coverage and it would be really, really ugly. I think that's what the Chiefs do. The Ravens, now I'm interested because they have to establish the run and play action in order to get to some of those deep shots. And I don't know if they'll get. I don't know if they'll get there.
Think about it, Doug. The Titans, it doesn't look the same.
Yeah.
They don't run like the option stuff, right. But it's the same mentality. Run it down your throat.
It is different. 11-on-11 is different. 11-on-11 is different, though, right? When the quarterback runs, it changes the math completely.
Well, I'm interested to see the team speed of Pittsburgh is fantastic.
Yeah.
If Lamar is attempting to run, how they like? Is he running for 20 yards or does he get 70 yards? Because we see when he can get, like, to me over that 50-60 threshold where he gets three or four runs,
yeah.
He creates some first downs,
yeah.
It does – they're able to take a deep breath and kind of establish their offense. I don't think he can do that this week.
Other one that really intrigues me is Saints at Bears. Twofold. One, like this Michael Thomas thing, he's still not playing. And I heard the nickname in the building is Can't Stand Mike. Like – Did they pay a turd? Is that what happened? Like I never heard that he was he's a wide receiver, but I never heard that he was this kind of dude. And now they can't get him on the field. And then you add in breeze, outdoors, cold weather, good defense, and it's windy. I'm in.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be tough without Can't Stand Mike. That's a good one. The one thing I was always told to ask. And you've heard this a million times with scouting and coaching, and you never really know. You can ask the question to a million people and get the answer is, how's he going to respond to money?
Yeah.
And remember, Michael Thomas was not a top 10 pick.
No.
He didn't get big, big money till that contract was signed. And then it'd be like Khalil Mack, when he got his $90 million contract, he did sign like a $28 million contract when he was the fifth overall pick.
Right.
So it was a lot more money, but he'd seen millions. Some of these guys, when you're not a super high pick in the second round, even though you become famous while you're on that young contract, we think, oh, this guy's a baller, he's a star. He's really not making the money that he's going to make once he signs the big boy contract.
Yeah.
And sometimes guys just – one thing I read or heard, he like undressed Sean Payton at a practice, and that's where it's just like you start losing your teammates when you do stuff like that. And we heard it forever with Antonio Brown. Once you pay him, he's going to stop listening. Now, I don't know this guy. It doesn't feel like he's that malicious or anything, but it's clearly it's derailed right now. I mean, is this guy not going to play? If you told me he doesn't play another game the rest of the season, you know, it's a Terrell Owens situation. I'll believe anything at this point because it's getting really weird. And yeah, I don't like the Saints. Now, the Bears' offense, my guy Nagy, I love him, but, God, their offense is hard to watch.
I love him, too. Do you think I think Foles actually said it to Greasy, and I think Greasy should have put it, like, in his own words, and that's where Greasy screwed it up.
Yeah. What I think the problem is I think Foles – I think it's hard to call – as an offensive play caller, especially when you like the pass, you know, he's a quarterback at heart, not an offensive lineman. The one thing you have to realize, and I think it's hard, and I've seen it with Coach Reed before, not their offensive line is good now, but you just, like, discount your offense. Their offensive line stinks. I mean, it's probably bottom five in the league, especially the interior. I mean, they give up so much pressure. Foles is not an athlete. I mean, he is an athlete, but he's slow-footed, so yes. He can't avoid, you know, the rush. So he's kind of a sitting duck. It is just – Foles can't play behind a bad offensive line. Remember the Eagles offensive line that he won Super Bowl with? Lane Johnson, Jason Peters, Kelsey, the dude that tore his Achilles, I forget his name, but the right guard's an all-pro. Like they have a really good offensive line. That ain't the Chicago Bears is awful.
Good stuff, man. Expectations of Tua?
I would say if he can just throw a touchdown against, you know, a really good team, that'd be pretty good. I'm not expecting much week one. I'm not going to judge him on this week.
No. I think they'll get Jalen Ramsey on a double move, that's for sure.
Yeah, to me, I think the big thing is we've eye tested the other guys because they're not winning that much either, and they passed the eye test. So this guy, after he starts a couple games, we go, okay, that guy looks like he's got a shot, or we're like, whoa, he looks a little overwhelmed. I'm not confident. I'd probably bet it's going to be tough for him, but
if you were going to pick one right now, who would you pick?
Herbert.
Yeah, me too. Stud. Stud.
But it's close. I mean, Burrow's damn good, too.
He is.
I'm a sucker for a big arm. That's why. If you pick Burrow, I wouldn't argue with you.
Yep. Good stuff, John. Thanks for joining us.
See ya.
John Middlecoff, 3 Now. It's the podcast. Former NFL scout. Great dude.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know what we want, right? We got what you want. I got it right here. I got you your winners.
I want winners.
Well, we got them.
Touchdown!
5 NFL, 5 college.
5-on-3, 1-2-3.
It's 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Let's go, 5!
All right, let's start with the college game. It's very important to point out that I was 4-1 in the NFL last week. Continue just rolling. Just rolling. This week should be no different, college and pro. Got you all kind of locked in here. All right, let's start with LSU taking on Auburn down in the Plains. Both teams would be considered fairly disappointing this year. I think LSU is a bit of a dysfunctional mess. That's my personal. Bo Nix hasn't been great in his second year as a starter. Remember, started as a true freshman. 1,100 yards, 6 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. They do have Tank Bigsby, who 432 yards rushing already. I'm just not convinced that LSU is ready for this fight. I got Auburn laying 2 at home. Give me the Tigers. Indiana taking on Rutgers. Remember, Indiana fresh off a huge win against Penn State in a 2-point conversion that he probably didn't score. Rutgers, Greg Schiano's first game, they go out and lay the wood to Michigan State. Rutgers, a 12-point dog. Give me Rutgers. Indiana, biggest win in years. Rutgers at home. Schiano, give me Rutgers. This one kind of curious. Oklahoma taking on Texas Tech. Oklahoma has all kinds of questions about who's going to play and who's not going to play. It is going to be absolutely fascinating to see who they line up, especially in Oklahoma's kind of depleted defense. They don't know their roster getting on the plane for Lubbock. With that in mind, I'm going to take Texas Tech. They're getting 15.5. The defense better than you think. The offense isn't what you remember. Texas Tech only because of the points. Ohio State taking on Penn State. Ohio State looked like the real deal. Justin Fields, only one pass was incomplete, and it hit his man in the numbers. He's just out of bounds and then eventually dropped it. Taking on a Penn State team that has lost their top 2 running backs, their best defensive player, to either COVID or injuries, And Ohio State is just loaded. Penn State's eh. I'll take Ohio State and lay all those points. No problem at all. You know, I like this one a lot, mostly because of my alma mater. Oklahoma State taking on Texas. Oklahoma State's defense is for real. The real deal. And, I mean, frankly, Spencer Sanders wasn't great last week. It was his first week back from a sprained ankle. He's a run-pass threat as a quarterback. Chuba Hubbard finally looks like the nation's leading rusher from last year. Only 478 yards so far this year, but last week was a big breakout week for the Canadian running back. I like Oklahoma State. It's only 3.5. Remember, this is a Texas team that should have lost to Texas Tech, did lose to TCU, did lose to Oklahoma. They will lose to Oklahoma State, I think, by more than 3.5 points. There's my college picks. All right, let's get to the NFL, shall we? Steelers are 5-1 against the spread this season. Pittsburgh defense second overall, first against the run. What do the Ravens do best? They run the football, right? This is the immovable object against the irresistible force. The one difference is that I love what Chase Claypool brings and how they're using him with Pittsburgh's offense. Look, Roethlisberger's no spring chicken, but he's always had the ability to take that extra hit, that extra step to the side, that little scramble to keep a play alive. We saw that with the Kansas City Chiefs. They have a good skill position group, okay, with Pittsburgh Steelers wide receiving core. I like Pittsburgh. I kind of like them straight up. I really like them as 4.5-point dogs. I've been on the resurgent Lions for a couple of weeks now. I know they needed a bit of a miracle to come back and beat Atlanta last week, but there's a little bit of hope there. A little bit of hope there. Matt Patricia's done a nice job. They're starting to acquire guys on the defensive side. People aren't leaving town. Matt Stafford's playing really, really good football. Lions home dog to the Colts. I love the Colts defense. And for Phillip Rivers, playing indoors helps him, but I like what Detroit's putting together here. I'm going to take Detroit to win straight up as 3-point home dogs. This is my pick of the week. This one feels too easy. No Julian Edelman, no N'Keal Harry. Okay, they already had 8 guys on the defensive side of the ball opt out. It looks like they're not going to have Stephon Gilmore. Cam Newton doesn't look like he can throw a football. The Bills are like a real team, right? The Pats are 25th ranked on offense, and that was with Julian Edelman and with N'Keal Harry. I don't see this game being even close. The Bills are going to lay the absolute wood to the New England Patriots. Years and years and years of angst all built up. They will lay the wood to the Patriots. Give me the Bills. The Browns are taking on the Raiders. Raiders are 31st on defense overall. Baker beats up at the bottom of the league. Did as a rookie, did last year, does this year. 2.5-point favorites. I think against the bad teams, they'll be good. Raiders are a bad team. Browns will be good. Last pick is the Vikings are, well, they're a bit of a mess, right? Talk about trading Adam Thielen. They have all sorts of injuries. And Kirk Cousins looks like a shell of his former self. Meanwhile, the Packers, loaded for bear. Loaded for bear. And they've beaten up on the Vikings already this season. They'll do it again. Second in points per game. Fourth overall in offense. Packers are 5-1 against the spread. They'll be 6-1 against the spread because they're 6.5-point favorites. They will win by more than a touchdown. Give me the Packers. So you got Steelers, Lions, Bills, Browns, Packers, Auburn Tigers, Rutgers, Texas Tech, Ohio State, and Oklahoma State. You're welcome.
5-on-3, 1-2-3.
There it is. 5 NFL.
Let's go, 5.
5 college. 5 for 5 with Doug Gottlieb.
Boom!